Hello, I'm Lisa Haynes, Public Relations Specialist for Roland Park Place, where we are redefining metropolitan senior living in Baltimore. You're listening to A Valuable Perspective with stories, advice, and reflections from some of the city's most knowledgeable, well-traveled, and experienced citizens. They are the residents who call Roland Park Place their home. The value of a good education is considered to be priceless, and a good education first starts with good, dedicated teachers in the classroom. Joining me to talk more about this is Roland Park Place resident Mr. Gary Blovell. He spent 41 years teaching upper school English and literature at Friends School in Baltimore, with some of that time spent as the dean of faculty. Mr. Blovell grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and has lived in Baltimore for the last 55 years. He received a bachelor's degree from Haverford College, a master's degree in teaching from Harvard University, and a master's degree in liberal arts from Johns Hopkins University. Mr. Blovell, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you as a guest on the show.
Hey, Lisa, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, with the amount of education you have, along with the various degrees that you hold, coupled with the fact that you have more than 40 years of teaching experience, you must have quite a good grasp on what you feel is a successful method of teaching kids in the classroom so that they can receive a good quality education.
I think there's more than one method, but I have to kind of begin with something that I always felt was important on Parents' Night to tell the parents. And that's about the kid who's standing in front of his father sitting in the armchair with his undershirt on, scowling at the report card. And the kid says, "What do you think's the matter with me, Pop? Heredity or environment?" Well, as far as the school goes, we can't do an awful lot with heredity. You know, the genes are kind of out of the picture. As far as environment, school environment, I think that is a vital element. Beyond that, I think there are 100 things that I could say. One, I think it's important to model behavior, for the teacher to model behavior and have the classroom support that. For example, I think it's important the kids learn to plan ahead, and therefore I think I should plan ahead. And one of the ways that I kind of modeled that was to give them assignment sheets, which covered 6 to 8 weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. So an essay, I never sprung an essay. Oh, I've decided tonight we'll do whatever. Having that ahead, I thought the kids could plan their lives. And I think that's a part of showing respect for kids and some maturity on their part. That also means, from my point of view, that I can't go around and change that sheet at whim. I've got to sort of stick with it. And I always said if an essay was due on March 3rd, you've known this for 5 weeks, mm-hmm. there's no reason to get it in on March 5th. And by the same token, then it's incumbent on me, I think, to get the papers back within 24 hours, not 5 months later. Mm-hmm. The second thing I think in terms of environment is the teacher's attitude. I think it's important. I think you have to love the subject, love the material that you're covering. I only taught books and literature and so on that I was committed to, and I looked forward to reading each year. And I would often say to the kids, there are 20 of us in here, and I can't know what all of you like or don't like. I only know what I like, and we're going to go, and not just what I like, but what I feel has some value. And thirdly, in terms of environment, I think a teacher has to enjoy being in the classroom and not be sitting there thinking, God, I'm not making enough money. I ought to go into administration. No, I ought to be doing something else. If you don't enjoy being in the classroom and knowing what you're good at, I would have been a horrible teacher to middle school or lower school students.
Wow.
I couldn't handle that. And I think college people, I taught 9 through 12, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed those kids, that age level. I really feel that we, educationally, we kind of stand things on their head. To me, the teachers that deserve the most respect and the highest salaries are the people who teach pre-kindergarten through sixth grade, let's say. And college teachers and grad school teachers could be the low end of the totem pole in terms of respect and so on.
Now, when it comes to the actual subjects that they teach and trying to get kids to learn the content of those subjects, what do you think is a good method to teach kids so that they absorb the information that they're being taught?
despite having had courses in methodology, et cetera, I don't want to get too technical, and I never found that stuff meant. What meant stuff is what works once you get in the classroom. In a way, I feel that content is secondary to some degree, which doesn't mean that you're not worried about teaching content, but I think it's a vehicle for getting kids to learn how to interest them in a subject matter, and to learn as a vehicle for learning how to learn. For example, I don't think it's important which novel I teach, but I think learning what a novel is and what its capabilities are and why one might want to read a novel and how to read a novel with insight beyond just the plot, perhaps, and why it's important to read a novel, those kind of things I think are important, and you can do that with any novel. Also, I think how to organize and develop an essay is an important skill, mm-hmm. and there are specific content things you can do, you can teach, but I think the big issue is to get kids to enjoy writing and to find, okay, there's pleasure in putting words on a page, and there are ways that I can manipulate people through language, and to me, that's the importance of writing. And thirdly, to get even a little bit more specific, grammar. Yes, I think we should probably know the difference between lie and lay. I think we should know the difference between a possessive and a plural. It drives me crazy to see an apostrophe every time there's an S, no matter what the situation is. But I think then again, it's your audience. You need to know what the rules are. And then if you feel for some reason you want to break those rules, be my guest. Go right ahead. And that gets into issues of being concerned with audience. If I'm writing a college application letter for college, I will try to be a little bit more formal than if I'm writing my girlfriend.
Okay, now during the month of June, high school students are graduating, and many of them are preparing to enter college soon. Now, you spent many years in college receiving an education yourself. So what advice would you give to them on how to be successful while they're in college and how to make the most of that experience?
I went to a liberal arts college, and I'm all in favor of the liberal arts, and I'm very concerned that we're cutting back on things like music and art, and those things are the first thing to go. All that matters is something that's going to make you a little money. So my first thought is that I think everybody should take as broad a range as possible. You're only going to have this opportunity once. You might as well take advantage of it while somebody else is paying for it. And so I would say one thing is to take, as I say, as broad a range of subject matter as you can. At Haverford, there was a requirement across the disciplines, and one requirement was a lab science. And I was never great at lab sciences and math and those kinds of things. So I figured astronomy was something that would count as a lab science. Mm-hmm. And my thought originally was that, the lab has to be outside on Monday. It is Monday nights. Every time it's cloudy, we probably can't have lab. So I might get away getting that requirement with fewer lab sessions than I would otherwise have.
Wow.
But astronomy turned out to be one of the great courses that I took. First of all, I had a great teacher. But I couldn't tell you an awful lot of detail right now about astronomy, but I just know I enjoyed it. It was fun. It gave me a perspective. And I wouldn't have taken it if Haverford hadn't required me to do something in those lines. Secondly, I think read the fine print is important to me, or is a good bit of advice to people. If you come to a roadblock, read the fine print. Find out what the requirements are. One of the things that Haverford required was 1 year of foreign language beyond the first year. Well, I'd had 4 years of French in high school, and I read the requirements. Okay, you can take a placement test as a freshman and place into the second year. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to get that requirement out of my way. Well, I didn't pass the placement test, and to make a long story short,
aww,
I ran back, 2 years of French. This is not the way I wanted to start off my college career.
Right.
So I ran back to the course catalog, once again, reading the fine print, uh-huh, and they said that the first year of Greek would count as your requirement. Apparently, Greek was so difficult, a new alphabet and all that, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah.
In any event, first year would do. So I said, I'll give that a shot. It can't be worse than 2 years of French. But I also, and this is my third point, is to communicate with your teachers. I went to the Greek teacher, the person who was teaching Greek, and I said, this is the reason I am taking it. I have been very weak in foreign languages, and I just don't enjoy it particularly. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate going on. They were trying to build up the Greek department then. And I said, if you don't want me in the class on that basis, yeah, I'm telling you now.
Right.
And he said, no, you might not like it. You might suddenly find it's just fits you exactly.
Uh-huh.
So I was in the class, and ultimately, I knew I wasn't doing well. I had to pass the final in order to get my credit. And when I took the final, I thought, well, there's no way I passed this. But I went and saw him, and he said, well, I gave you a 60. And I'm sure that if I hadn't gone in and talked to him originally, he'd just say there's no, he understood my situation.
Yeah.
He said, the guy's worked. He's done the best he can, mm-hmm. which was none too good. So there's no point in forcing him to continue to be a failure.
Oh.
So in other words, I thought it was important that I talk to him. So
yeah.
that would be the
yeah.
other thing. And so, again, I wouldn't pass up on something simply because you have no interest, I think. It doesn't have to mean something to me. It's like baseball doesn't mean anything, but mm-hmm. some people find it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
now we've talked about the fact that some of the graduates plan to go straight to college, but sometimes there are graduates who may want to take a break first before they go, or maybe they don't know exactly what they want to study at that time, or they may want to seek employment first, or whatever the case. Do you think it can be healthy when kids take a break before going straight to college until they decide what they want to pursue, or do you think taking a break may make them lose interest in attending college at all?
I'm probably more in favor of it today than I was 10 years, 20 years ago, 40 years ago when I started teaching. I was in a college prep school, so friends, we kind of assumed that everybody would go on to college,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure that's always a good assumption to make. I don't think people should be made to feel that they're doing something evil or immoral by taking some time off. In fact, the more I have seen of parents who overschedule their kids, I could understand where somebody says, I need some time off, and I don't see any point particularly in going to college just to go.
All right. Now, recently, young people have been taking a much bigger role in political activism. Do you think it's important for them to do that? And what parallels do you see to other points in American history?
We always say kids ought to think for themselves. And then, of course, when they begin to do that, we don't like it. The student marches recently, I thought, were a good thing. And I thought kids were taking responsibility. In general, I think activism is a good thing. And I think, although how much it actually change anything is another issue,
mm-hmm.
but the exercise itself, I think, is important.
Okay. All right, Mr. Blavatt, well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wonderful story and experience with us.
I've had a good time.
This has been A Valuable Perspective, brought to you by Roland Park Place. Please be sure to check out next month's episode as we bring more stories, advice, ideas, and valuable lessons from the residents of Roland Park Place. And for more information about Roland Park Place, please visit our website, rolandparkplace.org. I'm Lisa Haynes.